This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello there. I'm Liesl Tom, and this is Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. Of course, as always, with me in studio is Duncan Mabaso. I was scolded last week. Hello, Duncan. And then the fabulous Shemaine Harris.
Thank you for introducing me as fabulous. Yes. Yeah, this is Cliff Central, Beyond Ears and Eyes. Also, remember, you can contact us during the show. Our Twitter handle at CliffCentral.com. You can also do the WeChat bit, and that's Cliff Central. And then our number is 0861-555-189. Our guest is very interesting. So maybe you want to just, you know, get that Twitter handle again, because that seems to be the fastest you can get through, at cliffcentral.com. Ask questions during the show. We've got a whole three quarters of an hour to go through. And Liesl, you can go, baby.
Our guest today is Reiki Master and Kinesiology Practitioner Mary Ann Forder. But Mary Ann, you do far more than just those two things. So let's start. I almost want to burst into song. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. What is Reiki?
Okay, Reiki, I use Reiki in everything I do, just as a, because it all it is a universal life force energy. That is what Reiki is. And when we become Reiki practitioners, the attunements, all they do is they clear out and purify our chakras so that the energy can flow better. Then we become better conduits for Reiki. That's all Reiki practitioners do, is we are conduits to help other people. We run the energy through us to the other person so that that person can use it to heal. Now, it is not the Reiki practitioner's decision where the Reiki goes or what it does. I can put my hands on a certain place, but the body of the other person will take that energy and use it as it needs. It is not my choice. All I do is offer it.
I do want you to please just clarify as much as possible what you mean by a chakra. What is a chakra? Because, I mean, we hear it all the time, but do we really know what we're talking about when we're talking about one's chakras?
Well, some people do and some people don't, I guess. So chakras, there are many, many chakras. The main chakras, there's seven of them. We start with the base chakra, then we go to the sacral, then the solar plexus, then the heart, throat, forehead, and crown. And then they also say that the aura is the eighth chakra. Those are the main chakras. They run in line with our endocrine system, and they are energetic bodies. If any of those are blocked, it really does confuse our lives. I see people that are really, for example, that are not grounded, that want to commit suicide, that do all sorts of weird things. And you, the first thing you see is that their base chakra is blocked. So you need to clear that, open that for them, and it really does make a huge difference to how they operate after that.
How do you see that?
Well, with kinesiology or with my pendulum.
Or how would the person who's not you be able to identify it and go like, oh, my, I don't know, heart chakra is blocked?
You know, for example, if your throat chakra is blocked, people get thyroid problems, they get cancer in their throat, they do all sorts of things, and they battle to speak. So there are clues to each of the chakras of things that are going on. As I say, the base chakra, you will feel completely disconnected from life if your base chakra is blocked. But I don't know that you can go onto the internet and look it up, and they'll tell you which chakras do what. But I don't know how close you come. And they do give you balances you can do yourself. But, you know, if I, for example, do a balance on chakras, it takes me probably 10 minutes, and the person walks away feeling like a different person. So there are more efficient and less efficient ways of dealing with it.
Can you see when you look at a person whether they have a blocked chakra just by their behavior? or which chakra is blocked just by their behavior?
I would suspect, but I would never assume. You know, this is one thing with the work I do, is that my own opinion is so not relevant. Hmm. I need to ask what is. If I start thinking I know, I will definitely mess it up.
And when you ask, who do you ask?
I ask the greater consciousness.
Okay, do you have to be religious in order to use Reiki, in order to be able to access these chakras?
No, it really doesn't have anything to do with religion. It has to do with consciousness.
Okay, so you said there are seven chakras?
Yes.
Can you quickly run us through what each of them represent?
I can. I've actually got a short little note here because there's so much, you know, there is so much. But let's just do a very quick one. Mm. So the base of the root chakra, they say here, the central theme is stability, the will to live, self-preservation, a sense of trust and security and groundedness. Then we go to the sacral chakra. The central theme is sexuality, sensuality, fertility and creative life energy. The navel chakra, willpower, self-confidence, personality, self-development, self-control, feelings, sensitivity, power, and forcefulness. This one I see blocked a lot. I think
The navel chakra,
a lot, yeah. You know, talking about the base chakra, I don't see that one blocked so often. Mm-hmm. Forehead chakra very often, crown chakra very often, and the navel also.
Why do you think that is?
I think that if you look at these themes, willpower, self-confidence, personality, self-development, self-control, it all has to do with living, doesn't it? And so many people have such a hard time getting through that.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, life does knocks that one for you.
So it's not the it's if there's a blockage in a chakra, is that, I almost want to ask, is that a weakness on the person's side, or is that life that happens and somehow hurt the person?
I think it's life that happens, and then it's how each person lives through their own filters that affects different people in different ways, because we all see things differently.
Mm-mm. And it's also great if you have someone who can help you see them in a more positive way, because, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, it's how you see it and how you filter it. But if someone comes along, like Liesl is my best bud, if she comes along and she just helps me, just that little nudge. So it's often, you just need someone there, you know, yes, to say, okay, it's not that bad. Let's just rewind and look at it in a different way. Then you can kind of almost change your perspective, just knowing that, you know, there's someone else that sees it differently.
Well, with the kinesiology work that I do, we'll go on with these chakras in a minute. What I do is I find limiting beliefs and fears that are attached to blocked chakras. Mm. And I have found that by just clearing those, it makes the most startling difference to the person and how they can cope with things. That's what opens them.
You know what? I'm so feeling what you're saying here now, because we're going through this whole manifestation thing where you go, oh, you just have to be positive and
just believe, darling, just, it'll all come true.
You know, just go with your gut. And then now you are telling us that, yeah, but you might need some extra assistance in the form of clearing energy spots.
Well, I've, in my own experience, I don't think that just positive beliefs will change anything. Mm-hmm. There has to be a little bit more. You've got to buy into it a bit deeper than just rattling off a few mantras. Mm-hmm. It goes much, much deeper than that. And, you know, I often have people who come to me after being to, well, Robin, you know, I can mention people's names there,
yeah,
and to Robin Banks' workshops, and they are brilliant, but he gives you so much more depth into becoming this positive person and how to get rid of the negatives and how to build the positives. He's brilliant. But we still see a lot of guys coming from there because we're very fortunate to have, we talk to them, we talk through them as well. You know, we're there when he does some of the presentations. And a lot of those guys find that they want to build these positives and they're doing all this work, but there's still something holding them back. And when we have a look, we find negative limiting beliefs that are stuck. Mm-hmm. And we clear them and it really does set them free.
Okay, let's carry on and finish the chakras.
The chakra.
And then we can take it one step further.
All right. Then I'm going to give another ident just after the chakras.
All right, so the chakras. The next one is the throat chakra. So here we have communication, verbal ability, inspiration, truthfulness, intelligence, synthesis, creativity, and musical talent. Then we go to the forehead chakra. There it is intuition, wisdom, realization, awareness, fantasy, power of imagination, and self-knowledge. And the main, the big chakra, because I've not, in my experience, found that the crown chakra is ever open if there are others blocked. Somehow they seem to be connected, and other people might have a different view, but this is what I've found.
And the crown chakra is right at the top.
Right at the top, yeah. So the central theme there is spirituality, experience of higher planes, knowledge of God, enlightenment, self-realization, and cosmic consciousness.
Hmm.
So those are the main chakras and more or less what they cover.
And do they all work on each other? In other words,
yes.
Because you just said if one of your other chakras are blocked, your crown chakra will not be open. So if one of my lower chakras is blocked, does that mean that everything above it is blocked?
Not necessarily, no. They actually work, I'll tell you now, the root chakra and the crown work together. The sacral chakra and the forehead chakra work together. The navel and the throat chakra work together. And then the heart chakra is at the center of it.
So when we talk about blockages, what... I mean, we use this word, and I'm having a conversation about blockages, but what is it?
They're energy blockages. They're beliefs that we get stuck with that we don't know how to get past.
Hurts, and, you know, that we also don't hurts, know how to hurts, get through.
Hurts, yes, hurts create beliefs,
mm-hmm.
or they create emotional charges. And when those are stuck, they're stuck. And if you know, very often we don't even know what we are believing that is holding us back. We haven't, you know that you don't know how to make money. But you have no idea why you believe that. And that is not the original belief. The original limiting belief sits much further down than that, much younger in your life. And it could even come from a generational thing, from your parents.
So a DNA thing.
Yeah. If we have genetics that cause us to believe things, it holds us.
Mm-hmm.
Those can also be cleared.
What about past lives?
Oh, yes, past lives. Those are my mm-hmm. favorite things.
I love them. So you carry memories from a past life and you still go through it. So
yes.
You need to work through it.
Yes.
But how come we do not go to people who can actually assist us? Why are people who can assist us so quiet about being able to help?
I think that... Okay, now we're going to go to levels of consciousness.
Right, go there.
All right. So, because to me, that is my explanation.
All right. Before you do that, let me just say again, this is Marianne Forder, and you are on Cliff Central, Beyond Ears and Eyes. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com. Our number, 0861-555-189. WeChat, Cliff Central. And also, we are on iTunes now, so you can go and download the show, Beyond Ears and Eyes,
Shemaine Harris
and Liesl Tom.
Marianne, tell us about these levels of consciousness.
Right, so levels of consciousness. Dr. David Hawkins spent about 30 years working on levels of consciousness, and it is a table that helps us to understand where we are in our own consciousness, in our own progression. It also gives us a checkpoint for just about anything. So this room would have a level of consciousness.
Without people in it?
Yes. The room would, well, what we've left behind. Each of us would have it. The show would have one.
Can you measure
Johannesburg?
That?
Of course we can.
How do you measure? Yes, what? Okay,
yes,
just tell us,
that.
What are you going to measure? Because Liesl wants to measure what you want to the room's consciousness.
No, ours.
Our,
the show's level consciousness.
Okay. Well, let's just do three. Hers, mine, and the show's.
Okay. So before I do that, should I just explain where they are? Because otherwise it's not going to mean very much.
And Duncan's. You might as well throw Duncan in as well.
Okay. So... this table starts at 1,000. It works. It starts. The top is 1,000.
Okay.
And the bottom is right down at shame, humiliation, and being miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So at that level, that vibrates at 20. At the top level, the person, the one person who was born at 1,000, I may say that, was Jesus.
Okay.
That is the only person born there. There were others that got there. Some of the other great masters like Buddha and Krishna, they got to 1,000.
How do you know that, though?
Because we can check with kinesiology or with a pendulum. We can check anyone's level of consciousness anywhere in history.
Wow.
Or before.
What was Mandela's? Because apparently his was also high according to the Enneagram.
It was high.
Okay, so that silence is just Marianne using a pendulum to swing it over a chart with rainbow colors. Now, at the bottom of those rainbow colors, there are all kinds of what we would label negative emotions. Am I right, Marianne?
Well, yeah, the bottom ones below two, I'll tell you now what I was working out, sorry.
Lower vibration?
Right, so we have the cutoff point of 200. Now, anything below 200 is negativity.
Mm-hmm.
So at 200, we start with courage, affirmation, and feasibility. We're on the first step to going up the levels of consciousness. As human beings, we should be wanting to get, well, once we have gotten to where we are actually not needed to come back down to earth again, we need to hit 600.
So you could work your way up.
You can work your way up.
So that's now where you go, like, you hit 600. So you go, like, listen, I'm ready to become a guide now, or just move on,
yes,
or just do something else.
At 600, we no longer need to come back to earth. Some do choose to. They choose to, but there's not many. Probably 12.
Man,
at any one time.
That's awesome. You better not tell our consciousness on air. We want to hear it, but not on air.
I think that's
a
good thing.
Right?
But when someone has reached 600 and they choose to come back to earth, ostensibly to help all the other people, do they come in with a new set of lessons they have to learn? Can they raise their consciousness even further?
I'm sure they can, yes. But at 600, they've reached where they need to. They come back. David Hawkins was one of them. He vibrated above 800. He was an awesome, awesome being.
Sure. Mm.
And this work is what he did. So an interesting part here to just quickly tell you, 85% of the world's population vibrates below 200.
Wow, no wonder we are, you know, we're scrounging. And,
On the other end of the scale, the people above 200 carry those below. So I've made a note here, just so I don't forget. One person that is at 700, and I mean that's not many, as you can imagine.
Are they alive still?
Counterbalances 70 million people below 200.
Wow.
Sure. One person at 600 counterbalances 10 million. And one at 500 counterbalances 750,000. Mm. One at 300 balances 90,000. So, you know, having said that, each one of us, by working with our own levels of consciousness and going up with our levels, can make a difference not only to ourselves, but to the world. And I think that is really something worth understanding and worth working to.
And that's probably what you do when you are over 600 and you come back, because you come with the knowledge that you can make a difference.
Yes, but all of us can make a difference. And below 200, it's not that easy to start to work your way up. You'd normally go through about 3 to 5 points in a lifetime when you are not conscious of what you're doing. Once you are conscious of this and you are on your spiritual journey, you can go up hundreds in a lifetime.
Can I ask you, Marianne, the celebs, like I'm talking like proper way back, millions of people know who you are, you know, how do they vibrate? Do they just vibrate as per normal and they just have an X factor? Or is there something that they did that makes them vibrate at a higher level so that they can impart something?
I think that there's special people that put up special music,
mm-hmm,
that speak to the soul so deeply. And those people, I believe, a lot of them carry high vibrations. But it depends on the person. It depends on their journey. You know, you can't put it across the board. But if you listen to some of the music that's out there, I just think, you know, for example, and I haven't checked his level, but I'm not going to say it now. I know it's quite high. I can't remember. But Michael Jackson's music, that person was so very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he had a special message and that he was carrying it. And he's not the only one. He's just the one of the ones that spoke to me.
So this music that people with a high level of consciousness create, can that then raise the consciousness of people way back at the bottom rung?
Yes. You know, it is so difficult to know who to say what to. You know, you were asking me how we get to people, and that's why I started on this. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to say? You can offer a person something. If they're ready to take it, they will take it and they'll come, or they'll run with it, or they'll get help or whatever. But not everyone is ready for it. You know, you are where you need to be. And with such a large percentage of people being below 200, I don't know that this work resonates too clearly with people below 200, because it just isn't where they are, where they see things. And that is why everyone doesn't come for help. I believe that everyone would, we would definitely lift our levels in this country beyond what we could believe.
Hmm.
But how do we convince people that that's for their greater good?
But something like Michael Jackson's music has crossover appeal. I mean,
it does.
I'm yet to meet someone who doesn't feel something
when they listen to it. For instance, that Heal the World.
Beautiful.
So, and do you know what's amazing? The young ones get it. The younger ones, they seem to have that consciousness where they go like, listen to that. Do you know what he did? Do you understand the significance? And they like early 20s, and I go, okay, you taught me. You know, and it's not even a joke. So there's someone also, Mother Teresa, she's dead now. So what was her vibration?
She was above 600.
Was she above 600?
Yes.
Are you at liberty to say what Angelina Jolie's would be? Because she does all this stuff.
You know, I don't know that we really have the right to just announce people's levels. You know, I would check. If somebody asked me specifically for theirs, I would check with the greatest
of pleasure.
Of pleasure,
which is what you're going to do for Lisa and I.
Yeah, Mother Teresa. That was recorded that she was above 600. So I can say that.
Oh, we didn't get Mandela's.
He was about 578, I think, which is very high.
Sure.
Just to put that in perspective, about 0.4% of the population is above 540. And only 4% of the population is above 500.
Wow. So we knew he was special. Tell me, Marianne, when we get a sense, just the sense that someone really is special, is that an indication of their level of consciousness?
It may be, or it could just be that you and that person are resonating at more or less the same kind of place, in which case what they feel and say would very strongly resonate with what you feel and say.
So now we've gone through people, but are you able to recognize the vibrations of animals?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And since we like low ranking, how do they rank in terms of vibration?
Well, they're different.
Okay.
And animal, for example, a cat's purr and a dog's wag of the tail both vibrate over 500.
You're kidding me.
I'm not. It is so good to have animals in your life. It is such an important thing.
I absolutely believe that. But listen, guys, that bitch Jane is back.
Hey, Jane. Hi, Jane.
And that's her handle. I'm not being rude to her. That bitch Jane
Marianne's face.
That bitch Jane sent us a message via WeChat, and she says, please measure producer Duncan's vibration.
Yes.
He's always on other shows taking bad things, but I believe he is kind and is the chosen one. Jane, I share your belief. Duncan is the chosen one. Marianne, I don't know, would you be allowed to measure his vibration?
That would be, we would ask Duncan first, and then we would ask the greater consciousness for permission.
And then you would have to say yes if it's okay to broadcast it.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, you're a brave heart, man, brave heart.
Speak into the mic, darling, speak into the mic. You keep on telling us to do that, now you
so,
do
Duncan,
that, okay?
Take your left hand and put it on your right side.
Yeah, I've done that.
So we're having a moment of silence because we don't want to disturb too much Duncan's heart on, hand on heart. Marianne is trying to
get
his vibration.
So okay, Duncan is at 365.
Wow.
And that will be, let me tell you what the level there is, acceptance. The emotion is forgiveness and the life view is harmonious. Going up towards where it says reason, understanding and meaningfulness. So that's where you live more or less your life.
Mm.
Does that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm. And then please remember that anything that's below 200, all these nasties, pride, anger, desire, fear, grief, apathy, guilt, shame, blame, humiliation, all those things, none of those, we're not free of them. You know, we are human after all, but that's not where we live. Mm-hmm. So where your level of vibration is would be where you live more or less.
Your neutral state.
Yeah, that's more, you would still go down to this or up to that. Remember also that our levels of consciousness can be affected in either way. You can mess yourself up real bad.
And why would someone with a higher level of consciousness do that?
You know, levels of consciousness. So let's say that someone vibrates even at 500, then you're 50% ego and 50% consciousness. And ego is quite a rude little thing, hey?
I always think that the ego's position within Marianne Inc. should be to be the secretary, because what we do is we make the ego the CEO of.
But that's because the ego is very good at convincing us that it is who we are, and it's not.
Well, sometimes you don't even know that it's ego, you know. Sometimes you think, well, this is just the way
it
is.
This is me. This is who I am.
And it's right that I am like this, and I'm not arrogant at all, you know, because I'm getting things done.
Well, this, yeah. Can I go to...
Yes. Do what you want.
It just keeps jumping.
You can go wherever you want. Okay. Take us there.
All right. So this, I think we know a little bit enough about the levels now just to mm-hmm. more or less understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I keep not talking in this thing. Okay. So when we talk about healing, healing is not only physical. Healing is of the body and of the mind. It has to be both. Now, for the body, we need to find and we need to treat the physical symptom or the physical syndrome or whatever its condition. Okay, but there's more to healing. Now, the second part of healing is, again, split into two. The first part is diet and how we eat, because how we eat, you know, one of the great sages, I think it was Ramana Maharshi, said that all disease is karmic, but it actually subsists on incorrect eating. So, yes, there are things in our karma that brings things to us. But if we look after our bodies and we are careful with what we do, we can. What does Franz Kramer say? He says, we can't control karma, but it's good when you know there's a storm coming to have an umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can help ourselves to a degree. We're not in control. But we can certainly make things a bit better. All right.
Are we speaking kinesiology now?
We pretty much are, yes.
Okay.
Okay. It's all interlinked, you know, mm-hmm. really. Okay.
You know, it's easy for you to say it's interlinked, but it's because now you go like we're doing Reiki, we're doing kinesiology, and you also do EFT, and you're doing the consciousness thing. So you go like, what is that? What is that? What is that? What is this? How can we all put it together? Do you know what I mean? So,
well, this is more or less where I'm going now.
To the so before you go, I don't know. You probably answered it a bit, but in a nutshell,
yes.
What is kinesiology?
All right. So kinesiology is simply it's an impersonal response of the body to the field of consciousness. So it bypasses the personality or the opinion of the client or the practitioner. It's got nothing to do with what I think or what you think. And it's used really, you know, in spiritual work. Mm. It's the way to measure. With kinesiology and the levels of consciousness, that is how you can measure what is.
So how do you measure?
With the kinesiology, with the levels.
No, how do you physically measure?
Yes. Okay, so there are quite a few ways, actually. I can use your arm, which will hold strong with a positive or a truth. It will test weak with a negative or a lie, and it always will.
Why is that?
Because the consciousness does not, it doesn't recognize untruths. So it will only hold strong when there is a truth. The minute it's negative or anti-life or a lie, it just isn't. It's like a light which is on or it's not on.
So the body physically cannot lie. You can lie with your mouth, but the body itself won't lie.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you then say to people who manifest with illnesses? And I mean, I'm not even going to mention it now because it can get quite tricky.
Yes, are we saying it's their fault?
Are we saying it's their fault, but why are they denying it? Can they fix it just by saying, hello, it's true, I rah, 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 or I did rah, rah, rah. Do you know what I mean? Because some people just do not, especially when it comes to children's illnesses, they just do not want to hear that a child, could carry such energy.
Well, everyone can carry it. And remember, that child, this is not, that is a child's body, but that is a soul that's been around. It's brought all sorts of things with it. There's things that have to be taken care of. And disease is a result of karma, of beliefs, of all sorts of things. That becomes so complicated and so deep. People talk. Here's actually a really good one that I know of. There's an author called Brian Weiss who is also a psychologist, I think he is, and he deals a lot in past lives. And he talks about his own past life where he had a child who was born with all his internal organs the wrong way around, and dealing with, and who died very, very soon after birth. And in dealing with one of his very first client that went into a spontaneous past life regression, because he didn't believe it, you know, he just was too scientific for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And in one of these regressions, she came back because she was, what they found was that she always spoke to the masters in between these lifetimes she went back to. And the masters in this particular one, sent her back with, first of all, telling him about his child who'd been turned around and about his father and how he'd died. And there were very specific things that this woman could not have known. And in this discussion, there was this agreement between this child that came with the turned around organs that they had agreed before they were born, him, this Brian Weiss, and this child.
Carry on.
So between this child and this man, there was an agreement before they were born that this child would come down and would accept this role to have this problem and go, because he needed to learn a lesson.
And
Brian needed to learn a lesson, and this other soul chose to come down and only live for those few, I think it was days, or weeks, I don't remember now, but the point is that that was a chosen thing. So who's to say why that child was born that way? Because of the greater scheme of things, it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, just before we go on, because you also do animals and, Reiki on animals and kinesiology.
And kinesiology
on. So
yes.
We'd like to talk about that. We need to get you back, you know. But before you go on, when you speak about the masters, who are the masters?
Well, you know, I don't think that we know exactly who all of them are. You know, we know that there are some that, like Ramana Maharshi, is considered a great master. Jesus is a great master. Buddha is a great master. And there are others that I'm sure we don't know about at all. But they are the ones who have reached those very high levels of consciousness. And I believe that a lot of them are there to help souls in their passing from lifetime to lifetime to see what they've done, see what they need to do, see what they've learned, choose, help them perhaps to choose where they need to go next to learn again.
So it's teachers.
They're teachers.
Yeah. Shall we go to the animal bit because our time is running
out?
Yes,
I'm looking at that watch and I'm thinking. But let's just, we didn't quite get to how you, do you ask different questions and then get the body to react?
Yes. One needs to know what to ask. And it's not really a question, it's a statement. So I wouldn't say, does Liesl have...
measles.
Measles, yeah. I would make a statement. Liesl does have measles. And the answer then would be yes or no. But if you don't know what to ask, you can't get an answer.
So how do you know what to ask?
Well, the stuff we work with, we do know what to ask because we've been taught what to do and what to look for and how to ask. And you don't go and ask questions where you don't really have a little bit of knowledge. You don't need to know the answers, because if you think you know the answers, why are you doing this?
Mm.
You need to ask for those answers, but you can't go diving in. I can't go and ask intelligent questions about brain surgery because I know nothing about it.
You also work with, if I may mention, a pendulum. So does that mean you do half of the things intuitively?
No, it's not intuitive, because the same as the kinesiology connects to the greater consciousness, so does the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different way of accessing it.
Does it lie? No? Pendulum?
Does it what? Lie?
Mm-hmm.
No, the pendulum can't lie, but if you're not clear on what you want to know, and or if you, for example, ask questions for self-engrandonment or enrichment,
right.
Unfortunately, then kinesiology and pendulum doesn't work.
Because people do use that pendulum just for fun, you know.
Well, I suppose they do, and I suppose they can. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, the level consciousness is it's like the cloud.
Mm.
Everything's up there. All you got to do is have a way of accessing it.
Yeah. So the animals, if you work on a person, you can check with them, you know, if we test Liesl has measles, you can check with me, did you have measles recently?
Yes.
Are you planning on having measles? I mean, there's a conversation. With an animal, there can't be that kind of conversation. How does it work then?
Well, first of all, I would normally use a person as a surrogate. The person usually knows a bit of the history, so they can confirm. But I don't really need to check. All I need to do is go in and find. You know, I've got lists of emotions and beliefs and fears, so that I go in and I just find the story. And, you know, it pretty much does gel out. You can normally check on those things, and it pretty much does balance.
For a person who has an animal, I'm going to take mine now.
Okay.
He's old.
Yes.
And I think his bowels are starting to give in.
Yes.
So he's taken to, you know, peeing in the house at night, and that's not what he's been weaned off, and so he's kind of like, and now I go, what is the matter? How would one approach that then?
Okay, so I would go and I would probably have a look at what kind of products there were available to help him to strengthen his bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take the kinesiology or the pendulum and I would check which of those products vibrates for his greater good, if any. Mm-hmm. So we'd know if something would help him. Then I would check if there were any limiting beliefs and things that are holding him back that were making him weaker. Any emotional charges, we'd clear those. And then we'd check what the best way of handling it would be. We'd ask about whether we should confine him to his bed. Would that help him? Would that make it more difficult for him? Everything was levels of consciousness. So if this would vibrate for his greater good at, and then we'd ask.
Right. And you can do that through me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Would you have to check on the animal? Can you check on the animal for that yes or no response?
No, I would use the person, or I would use my pendulum.
Okay.
Hmm.
You know, so you don't have to see the animal?
No, although if I don't know the animal, I find it quite helpful if the person just brings me a little bit of hair or maybe the collar or a bed, something that's got the animal's DNA on it would help me to connect better to that animal.
Okay, we are almost at the end. You also run workshops on teaching people how to use kinesiology on their animals. Tell me more.
Yes, I do. Okay. Well, first of all, most of the stuff we've discussed today, not the Reiki necessarily, that although that does help, but they need to understand the levels of consciousness and all those things. So the workshop really consists of a lot of work on the person to get them to a place where they can do the kinesiology on the animals. And then I take them to where they use a surrogate human to do the animal kinesiology. It's a two-day course.
So you first fix the human and then via the human you fix the animal.
Well, one does need to balance a few things so that the kinesiology becomes, I think, accessible to the human.
There's so much we haven't touched on yet. I mean, these limiting beliefs. And you spoke about EFT yesterday when Marianne mentioned EFT. I thought, yes, electronic transfer. I mean, that's what we do. We don't have time to go into that. But just quickly remind me, what is EFT really?
It's emotional freedom technique.
Oh, yes. It's not electronic funds transfer. Marianne Porter, thank you very much for your time. If you want to get in touch with Marianne, you can send her now. She has a list of emails, but I'm going to give you the easiest one. It is Mary Ann Forder. I'm going to spell that. MarianneForder @gmail.com. So you can send Mary Ann an email. And Mary Ann, any last words from you?
Wow.
The time went fast, didn't it?
I think wow is the perfect last word.
I can't believe how fast the time has gone.
That was Beyond Ears and Eyes with Marianne Forder, me, Liesl Tom, and of course,
me, Shemaine Harris, and Duncan Mabaso. And remember, you can get us on iTunes, download it, Beyond Ears and Eyes.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye now.
This is CliffCentral.com.